Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier for Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. I'm your reader, Grace Barter. One person has been arrested in connection with an accidental shooting that claimed the life of a Waterloo man in January. Waterloo police on Friday arrested Danielle Ariana Otterson, 18, of Waterloo, on charges of involuntary manslaughter and possession of a short-barrel shotgun. Bond was set at $50,000. Otterson is charged in connection with the death of Joseph Andre Quayle, 19. Authorities said Otterson was at Quayle's home at 208 Amy Street in the early morning hours of January 15th while Quayle was handling an illegally shortened shotgun. Quayle worked the weapon's slide and pulled the trigger, but nothing happened, according to court records. Otterson told police she then took the gun, worked the slide, which moved a shell into the chamber, and as she did this, her finger slipped to the trigger, records state. The shotgun discharged, striking Quayle in the chest. Otterson then fled the area without notifying authorities, records state. When authorities arrived at the house, they found Quayle dead inside. Police found the shotgun in the home and seized the weapon. One person was taken to the hospital following a report of a carbon monoxide incident at the Waterloo Convention Center on Monday morning. A worker was found unconscious in a construction area on the first floor of the building at 200 West 4th Street, where power equipment was being used indoors. Details weren't immediately available, but officials said the worker is expected to recover. When crews with Waterloo Fire Rescue arrived, they found elevated carbon monoxide levels in the area, and the building was vented until the levels dropped. The Cedar Falls School Board will soon host the first of two hearings on the fiscal year 2025 budget. The April 8th hearing is one of the new changes brought forth by House File 718 and will be when the board is introduced to more details about the proposed budget. The actual document would be up for adoption at a second hearing April 22nd. Property owners should have received a notice showing the property tax levy projected to rise to $35.22 million, up 1.85% from the $34.58 million in the current fiscal year. The tax rate would go from $14.79 per $1,000 of taxable valuation to $15.27. The proposed levy, rate, and other details are provided in the far-right column of the new notices sent out recently. They're based on various assumptions for now, Danielle Gonerman, Chief Financial Officer, notes. Administration and the board could reduce the total levy once more information becomes available. For now, she anticipates the management fund levying $1.95 million more than the current year. The district's insurance agent reportedly said to expect sizable increases in premiums and building values on the books. We do know that there is a new 1% wind and hail deductible, she said, about what's causing insurance rates to rise. The new school and natatorium will be added to the insurance policy as well. Among the additional assumptions, for example, are taxable valuations increasing by 4.21%. Supplemental state aid is more of an unknown, as that's not yet been determined. Governor Kim Reynolds proposed districts seeing a 2.5% increase versus the Iowa House's figure of 3%, Gonerman said. The 1% instructional support income surtax will remain the same, and the cash reserve levy of $491,656,000 is based on previous action by the board. The district will levy for debt service of $7.4 million, similar to last year, for the construction of the new high school and Bess Streeter Aldrich Elementary School, as well as the remodel of Orchard Hill and North Cedar Elementary Schools. The Waterloo Waterworks will flush water mains Thursday in the area from Burton to Logan Avenues and Dawson to Louise Streets. Customers living within the area and within several blocks of the flushing area could experience some discoloration. The water may be a brownish color during and immediately following the flushing. Customers are urged not to do laundry on Thursday. The water is bacterially safe. Discoloration is caused by accumulation of minerals on the inside of the water mains. All Waterloo Public Schools and offices will be closed Friday, March 29th. Students and staff will return to a normal schedule on Monday, April 1st. On Thursday, J.D. Schreffenberger, author of the recent poetry chapbook, American Sad, Main Street Rag, will be featured at the final Thursday reading series. This event starts at 7 p.m. with a creative writing open mic. Attendees are invited to share up to 5 minutes of original fiction, poetry, or creative nonfiction. Schreffenberger is an editor of the North American Review and a professor of English at the University of Northern Iowa. Along with reading from American Sad, Schreffenberger will present poetry and music beginning at 7:30 p.m., playing songs on piano inspired by the Holmes, accompanied by Michael LaFaire on vocals and Paul Condit on saxophone. Next month's FTRS on April 25th features Mickey Berthelet Morency. Morency is the author of the debut novel The Island Sisters by BHC Press. The Final Thursday Reading Series is a collaboration of Final Thursday Press, the Hearst Center for the Arts, and the University of Northern Iowa College of Humanities, Arts, and Sciences with support from Sidecar Coffee Roasters and Hanson's Farm Fresh Dairy. Candidates for Black Hawk County's June 4th primary election have been finalized. There are 6 people running for 3 Board of Supervisors seats and 2 running for sheriff. On the Board of Supervisors, 4 county supervisor candidates are on the Democratic ticket. Kamar Anshayan, 64, of 1703 Washington Street, Cedar Falls, is an educator and former member of the Cedar Falls City Council. Anshayan is retiring this year after 30 years with the University of Northern Iowa. He is currently the director of its Center for Energy and Environmental Education. He wants to devote his time in retirement to the place he lives. I served on the Cedar Falls City Council for 8 years, loved it, learned a lot, and developed respect for public employees, he said in an email. I have learned that local self-governance, local people looking after the well-being of their home region, is the heart of our democracy. Richie Kurtenbach, 62, of 238 Normandy Street, Waterloo, is an electrician and labor leader with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local Union 288. He is stepping down from the IBEW this summer and has wanted to run for office for a while. My work life would not allow me to devote the time to doing that to the extent I would want or need to in doing it right, he said in an email. If elected, some of his main goals would be to keep communities safe while supporting first responders, assisting residents by connecting them with county departments, and being active in the community. Linda Leyland, 74, of 3902 Hillside Drive, Cedar Falls, is running for a 4th term on the board. Before becoming a supervisor, she worked in economic development for 25 years in the county. She currently serves on many community boards. She said the county has accomplished much in the past 12 years, but she wants to continue her work. I'm proud of the work the board and staff have done to have strong reserves so we can address not only potential disasters and emergency situations, but we're able to navigate through issues like state mandates or increased costs for equipment and still provide the needed services to the residents, she said in a news release. If re-elected, one of her main goals is to work on the county's new strategic plan, which would identify goals for the next few years. Chris Schwartz, 43, of 214 Highland Boulevard, Waterloo, is running for a third term on the board. Outside of the boardroom, he works as a community organizer and is a director or member on many community boards such as Operation Threshold, Middle Cedar Watershed Management Authority, and Cedar Valley Pride Fest. He said, after 8 years on the board, he is running for the same reasons he ran in 2016. I think I brought a lot to the table and learned a lot, he said. I want to be a voice for the underprivileged, serving with empathy and sympathy and honesty. Candidates in the other two parties are uncontested. Justin Brandt of 1061 Ridgemont Road, Waterloo, is running as a Republican. He has been with the Waterloo Police Department since 2009. Brandt did not respond before the press deadline. Previous Courier articles state he has won multiple awards with the department, such as the Medal of Valor for intervening in a shooting, as well as a national award for creating the Hail Mary Project, which focuses on helping at-risk youth. Fred Perryman of 2515 Walnut Street, Cedar Falls, is the only Libertarian candidate for any county position. Perryman did not respond before the press deadline. Courier Archives state he ran for Cedar Falls City Council in 2020, Iowa State Senate District 30 in 2019, and State Auditor in 2018 on the Libertarian ticket, all unsuccessfully. Current supervisor, Tom Little, will not run for re-election. He has been on the board for 20 years. For sheriff, the other contested county race is for the sheriff. Sheriff Tony Thompson announced his retirement in November, saying he wants to spend more time with his family. He held the position for 15 years. Both candidates running for sheriff are Democrats. Nate Neff, 50, of 135 Sabrina Circle, Waterloo, is a captain and the jail administrator for Black Hawk County. Neff has worked in the sheriff's office for 30 years. He said with his experience working for the county, especially in his last few years as the jail administrator, he believes he is the right fit. He said as part of Thompson's administrative team, he works with the county budgets. With my training, experience, and education, I'm confident I can lead the sheriff's office into the future with continued success, he said in an email. Nio Masick, 34, of 312 Cothey Street, Waterloo, is a car salesman in the Cedar Valley. He previously worked as a machinist at John Deere and attended Hawkeye Community College. Although he has no law enforcement experience, he believes he can get the job done. I worked at John Deere, and most 50 to 60 hour per week jobs are pretty similar, he said. I highly doubt I'll have a hard time doing it. He said if elected, he would want to look at affordable housing in the community, as well as issues such as bullying and mental illness. The other county seat on the ballot is for the auditor, which is uncontested. Karen Showalter, the current county elections manager, is hoping to take Grant Veder's spot. She is running on the Democratic ticket. Veder, first elected in 1988, announced his retirement in January. Showalter has worked under Veder for 8 years. Voters can also choose state senators and representatives in June. Iowa Senate District 38 has the most candidates to choose from. The seat is currently held by Democrat Eric Giddens of 1620 River Bluff Drive, Cedar Falls, who is running for re-election. Three Republicans are running against him. This includes James McCullough of 1932 Iowa Street, Cedar Falls, Steve Schmidt of 1910 Kitty Hawk Drive, Waterloo, and Dave Sayers of 4107 Horseshoe Drive, Cedar Falls. There are two contested races for state representatives. The first is for State Representative District 54. Two Republicans are running. Incumbent Joshua Meggers of 1517 Canterbury Circle, Grundy Center, and Jody Anderson of 613 River Street, Iowa Falls. The other contested race is for Iowa House District 76. The seat is currently held by Republican Derek Wolf of Hudson, who is hoping to be reelected. Running against him is Democrat Jared Johnston of 1002 Sherman Street, Dysart. Other area districts are uncontested. These include Iowa Senate District 34, Dan Zumbach, incumbent Republican of 2618 140th Avenue, Ryan, Iowa House District 61, Timmy Brown Powers, incumbent Democrat, of 1920 West 7th Street, Waterloo, Iowa House District 62, Jerome Amos Jr., incumbent Democrat, of 119 Ricker Street, Waterloo, Iowa House District 68, Chad Ingalls, incumbent Republican, of 13298 130th Street, Randalia, Iowa House District 75, Bob Kressig, incumbent Democrat, of 3523 Veralta Drive, Cedar Falls. For Iowa's 2nd Congressional District, candidates won't have challengers in the primary. Voters can choose between Republican incumbent Ashley Hinson of Marion and Democrat newcomer Sarah Corkery of Cedar Falls. After the party winners of the primary are chosen, they will move on to the general election in November 5th. This year is a presidential election. Hundreds of students went head-to-head in robotics competition during the weekend. More than 50 teams from 6 states and 2 foreign countries packed the University of Northern Iowa's athletic campus for the FIRST Robotics Competition Iowa Regional. Students and their coaches played 9 qualifying matches on Friday and Saturday. Cedar Valley teams include Team 525 Swart Dogs from Cedar Falls High School, Team 5837 Unity 4 Tech, a collaboration of Waterloo's East and West High School students, and Team 6455, the Coded Collective from Columbus Catholic High School in Waterloo. FIRST, first for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology, is a global organization focused on generating interest in the career fields of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. The high school students built industrial-sized robots that battle on a competition field. This year's game was Crescendo, a music-themed contest where robots picked up notes in the form of orange rings to shoot into boxes and nets that represented speakers and amplifiers. Team members choose from multiple roles such as programming and coding, computer-assisted design, mechanical engineering, and outreach and communication. A few students are human players and control the robots on the field. Although a lot of the team is focused on engineering, kids say there is a spot for everyone. The students on the 26-person Waterloo team found their own niche, while those on Columbus Catholic's team work differently. Columbus has 7 students on their team. Juan Park, a junior, said he and his teammates have to be a jack of all trades, but students dabbling in multiple roles may be paying off. On Waterloo's Unity 4 Tech team, many of the freshmen have seen growth within themselves in their first year of high school. Dina Nasri is on the team's outreach team, where she visits middle schools to recruit future students, volunteers at the food bank, and helps with STEM nights at the library. Before going to West, she couldn't have seen herself doing so much in the community. While Nasri is just starting her first robotics career, Cedar Falls senior Myla Hayes is finishing hers. She has been a part of the FIRST program for 9 years. The Cedar Falls Community School District offers different STEM programs from preschool to 12th grade. Haynes said the district has high retention rates for students in the programs. Once she graduates, she will go to Iowa State University to obtain a degree in computer engineering and biochemistry. Cedar Falls coach Julie Kirkpatrick, who also teaches computer science and math, said she is amazed at what her students can do. Awards were given to nearly 24 teams after the final rounds of the competition on Saturday afternoon. Some awards qualified teams to go on to a championship event. The University of Northern Iowa is gearing up for an event of galactic proportions. UNI's Rod Library is hosting its 9th annual RodCon on April 6th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. RodCon is a mini-comic book convention with a welcoming environment where people with common interests come together to share their love of all things pop culture. This will be the 9th year for the event, and Melinda Bayland, Marketing and Public Relations Specialist at the university, is excited for what the day means to the community. We want to provide an event each year that is family-friendly. Not everyone can afford a Comic-Con experience. We want to keep everything on a smaller scale that makes it accessible to everyone, she said. For Bayland, the event is also a family affair that is educational as well as fun. Since I've been involved for a while, I have enjoyed bringing my kids to the kids' zone, she noted. We have teacher ed students that plan events around what they have learned and then bring it into real-world setting. In addition to games, there will be costume contests, giveaways, video gaming, live-action role-playing, and vendors who will be selling a variety of pop culture-related items. Vocal actress, author, and singer Shakira Dunn will be a special guest speaker at the event. Dunn is known for her work on video games such as Dragon Air Silent Gods, Doomsday Last Survivors, and Adventures of Sky the Slime Maid. Graphic designer and artist Travis Bentley is one of the vendors who will be part of RodCon. He has participated in the event during the past 2 years. Events like RodCon are a great easy entry for people to explore local artists and support newer talented individuals, he wrote in an email. You can also get a great dialogue with people who enjoy your work in a very responsive environment. These kinds of events make for great onboarding points for artists looking to get their work out into the public for the first time. Bentley is looking forward to meeting up with other artists who he knows through RodCon and discussing their growth as artists. And there are certain events he particularly enjoys following at RodCon while running his booth. I always look forward to the cosplay contest. Seeing great amounts of skill and creativity on display is wonderful to watch, said Bentley. Bayland added that an event like RodCon is something that has to be experienced at least once. People can expect a lot of fun, learn about pop culture, and we have something for everyone. The event is free and open to the public. The Community Foundation of Northeast Iowa is announcing the distribution of 29 grants totaling $492,262 to organizations serving Black Hawk County. Grant recipient organization, what the grant will fund and grant amount is follows. In arts and culture, Iowa Museum Association General Operations $5,000, Metropolitan Chorale 23-24 Concert Season $5,000, and the Waterloo Cedar Falls Symphony Orchestra Operational Support $10,000. In community betterment, Patty's Libellula's Center Operations $10,000. Volunteer Center of Cedar Valley, serving the Cedar Valley by building stronger community engagement, $10,000. The Waterloo Electrical JATC Pre-Apprenticeship Program, $10,000. In education and youth development, Back to Basics 2024 Operations, $20,000. Cedar Valley Angels Love Box and Dare to Dream Program Expansion, $10,000. Family YMCA of Black Hawk County General Operations, $20,000. Hawkeye Community College Foundation, We Build Iowa, or We Build Waterloo, $15,000. Iowa Jobs for America's Graduates, Unlocking Every Student's Potential, $15,000. Islamic Foundation of Iowa Little Stars Child Care Center, $20,000. Marching Against the Darkness Excellence Expo, $15,000. The Job Foundation General Operations, $15,000. Tri-Pi Learning Space Expansion, $12,312. In health, Success Link, Together for Youth, Adolescent Sexual Health Programming, $10,000. And in Human Services, the Black Hawk Grundy Mental Health Center, Improving Patient, Staff, and Community Safety, $9,950. Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Dubuque, Immigration Legal Services, $20,000. Family and Children's Council of Black Hawk County Parent Education, Strengthening Families and Preventing Child Abuse, $10,000. Iowa Legal Aid Civil Legal Services to Stabilize Low-Income Black Hawk County Residents, $10,000. Little Iron Mom Neighbors to Newcomers Interpretation, $15,000. Northeast Iowa Food Bank General Operations in Black Hawk County, $60,000. One Cedar Valley General Operations, $25,000. One City United General Operations, $20,000. PGC Outreach, PGC Outreach Operations, $10,000. Royal Legacy Christian Academy Child Care Programming Expansion, $20,000. Salvation Army of Waterloo General Operations Non-Religious, $50,000. The River Ark General Operations, $20,000. Grants are awarded through CFNEIA's competitive grant process. Decisions on grant awards are determined by CFNEIA's Grant Distribution Committee, which consists of volunteers from Black Hawk County. You are listening to the reading of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier for Tuesday, March 26th, 2024, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now, let's turn to today's obituaries. Marilyn Reinhardt, 91, of Waverly and formerly of New Hampton, died Saturday, March 23rd at Waverly Health Center. Marilyn was born on April 5th, 1932, in New Hampton. She graduated from New Hampton High School in 1950 On September 6, 1953, Marilyn was united in marriage to Donald Reinhardt in New Hampton. Marilyn worked at Miller's Cleaners in Waverly and later at Waverly Publishing, Color FX, retiring on July 1, 1996. Marilyn was a member of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Waverly, where she was active in the ladies' circle. Visitation will be held on Thursday, March 28th, at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Waverly from 9 to 11 a.m. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. on Thursday, March 28th, at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Waverly. Burial will follow at the St. Paul Lutheran Cemetery in Waverly. Memorials may be directed to Cedar Valley Hospice. Richard Buss died at his home on Friday, March 22nd, after a long battle with Parkinson's disease. Richard Dick was born June 25, 1945, at St. Joseph Mercy Hospital in Waverly. He graduated from Denver Community School in 1963. On September 19, 1965, he was united in marriage to his high school sweetheart, Judy Bartles. Dick's passion was in farming. He also drove school bus for Denver Community Schools for 20-plus years. He loved his John Deere machinery and farming thousands of acres at a time. Dick was a lifelong member of St. Paul United Church of Christ in Denver, Northeast Iowa Tractor Pullers Association, Iowa Tractor Pullers Association, and Denver Snowmobilers Club. Dick was named to the Iowa Tractor Pullers Association Hall of Fame in 2010. He attended thousands of tractor pulls, which took him across the country, and he pulled at events like the Louisville Farm Machinery Show in Louisville for many years. One of Dick's fondest memories came in 1983 when he won the Missouri, Iowa, and Minnesota State Fair tractor pulls in the 9,500-pound class. Three first places, all within 1 week, was quite the accomplishment. Richard has been cremated, and there will be a celebration of life get-together at a later date. In the meantime, memorial tributes may be shared directly with his wife, Judy Buss. Eddie Frank Herbert, 87, of Waterloo, went home to be with the Lord on Thursday, March 21st. He was born on October 17, 1936, in Kansas City, Missouri, and married Ellen Victoria Coonrod on July 6, 1957. He owned and operated Expert Tree Company, which he founded in 1954, and served in the U.S. Army from 1957 to 1962. Eddie was a man of faith in Christ who faithfully cared for his family and enjoyed serving people. Funeral services will be Thursday, March 28th at 10:30 a.m. at Grace Baptist Church in Waverly, with a private family graveside service to follow at Garden of Memories Cemetery in Waterloo. The family will greet friends on Wednesday evening from 5 to 7 p.m. at Lock on 4th, Waterloo. Memorial contributions should be directed to Grace Baptist Church in Waverly. Roxy Bass, 96, of Cedar Falls, died peacefully on Thursday, March 21st, at Pinnacle Specialty Care in Cedar Falls. Roxy's family will host an open house celebration of life on what would have been her 97th birthday on Saturday, April 27th, from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Ridges Clubhouse in Cedar Falls. Memorial contributions in Roxy's honor may be directed to the Living Water Church of the Nazarene. Daniel Lee Van Raden, 74, of Waterloo, passed away Friday, March 22nd, at Mercy One Medical Center. He was born July 19, 1949, in He married Patricia Scribner on May 19, 1984, at the Little Brown Church in Nashua. Dan graduated from Green High School in 1967. He then attended Hawkeye Institute of Technology, where he received his auto mechanic diploma in September 1968. He worked as a mechanic at Shukai Chevrolet and Rydell Chevrolet. He later worked at Pepsi as a fleet mechanic from 1985 until retiring in 2016. Dan loved muscle cars, drag racing, and attending car shows and 4th Street Cruise. He also enjoyed going to farm auctions. Services will be 11 a.m. Wednesday, March 27th, at Haggerty Wyckoff Grarup Funeral Service on South Street, with burial at Rose Hill Cemetery in Green. Public visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, March 26th, also at the funeral home. Visitation also 1 hour prior to the service on Wednesday. Memorials may be directed to the family. Kenneth Wayne Gilpatrick, Sr., 101 of Olwine, passed away Sunday morning, March 10th, after a courageous battle with cancer while in hospice care in his home at Arlington Place Assisted Living in Olwine. A celebration of life service will be held Saturday, March 30th at 11 a.m. in the chapel at Waterloo Memorial Park Cemetery. Interment will follow in that cemetery. Van R. Johnson, 77, of LaPorte City, died March 24th at Park Center Garden View in Newton. The funeral will be at 10 a.m. on Friday, March 29th at St. Paul UMC in LaPorte City. Visitation is 1 hour prior to the service. Burial is at the West View Cemetery with military honors. And in some sports news coming from the UNI, not one, but two members of the Bowlesby family have temporary jobs within the University of Northern Iowa sports landscape. Bob Bowlesby and his son Kyle landed the gigs around the same time, and both may have a say in the ongoing athletic director search. Following a competitive bidding process, the public university contracted with Bowlesby Sports Advisors on December 21st to assist during the hiring process for the high-profile position. The Courier has learned Kyle Bowlesby, founder and president of the consulting firm, is the son of Bob Bowlesby, who is officially became the interim athletic director on January 3rd. The senior Bowlesby, known most recently for his time as Big 12 Conference Commissioner, is also listed online as one of Bowlesby Sports Advisors' 2 vice presidents. However, Pete Morris, University Relations Director, said after speaking with Bob Bowlesby, he is not a paid employee and has no financial stake in the company. University legal counsel confirmed he is in compliance with Iowa Code 68B.2A, said Morris, during a telephone interview about the potential for a conflict of interest. Tim McKenna was the institution's top attorney at the time. He's since retired. Morris later noted that Bob Bowlesby disclosed there was no financial gain through his role with Bowlesby Sports Advisors in writing to the university's procurement office in December. Bob Bowlesby is a sports icon in the Cedar Valley and Iowa. A Waterloo native, he was UNI's athletic director, or AD, from 1984 to 1991. Iowa University AD from 1991 to 2006, Stanford University AD from 2006 to 2012, and Big 12 Conference Commissioner from 2012 until 2022, among many stops and opportunities throughout his illustrious career that have reportedly earned him at least 7 figures in compensation. Kyle Bowlesby signed the $45,000 agreement on behalf of Bowlesby Sports Advisors to immediately provide services for UNI's search for the replacement of former athletic director David Harris, according to the contract obtained through a public records request. Bob Bowlesby's appointment likely took effect after Bowlesby Sports Advisors' work started. However, his hiring was announced in late November following acceptance of the official job offer from President Mark Nook. The father is getting paid $6,250 per month, or what equates to $75,000 annually, for his job running department operations in the interim, according to UNI correspondence provided to the Courier and a record with appointments approved retroactively January 10th by the Board of Regents. Morris said Bob Bowlesby is not involved in the AD search committee, nor does its members report to him or his department. Now 72, the senior Bowlesby is in UNI's Athletics Hall of Fame, with more than four decades of athletic leadership and sports management experience. At the same time, he's now serving in his temporary gig at UNI. Bob Bowlesby is essentially an unpaid consultant to Bowlesby Sports Advisors, Morris said. His only involvement is higher level, like strategic planning, and will lend input on things like name, image, and likeness, or bigger picture trends in college athletics, said Morris. Bowlesby Sports Advisors of Dallas was selected from a pool of eight total search firms responding to the Division I university's request for proposals. The others were Bufkin Baker, Collegiate Sports Associates, Hinsey & Associates, Korn Ferry, Parker Executive Search, Turnkey ZRG, and Witt Kiefer, according to a document provided by Morris. The firm's significantly lower bid, $7,000 less than the second lowest and 33% less than the average of the other seven, was ultimately why it was awarded the consulting work, said Morris. Bob Bowlesby was not involved in the selection of Bowlesby Sports Advisors, said the university spokesperson. It's believed to be the first time UNI has worked with the Suns firm. Firms were allowed to submit proposals from November 28th until December 18th, a UNI bidding database shows. The online record notes the Bowlesby firm as the winning proposal. The university looks to be getting a better deal than in 2016 when the last AD search was conducted. Provided in response to the Courier's records request as an expense on the university's books for the 2016 search was the $60,500 agreement with Collegiate Sports Associates, better known in the industry as CSA, in Raleigh, North Carolina, for similar consulting services. The current partnership with Bowlesby Sports Advisors was not stated in any announcement made or materials released by the university. However, Kyle Bowlesby is listed as the only contact on job listings for the university's ninth AD. He also addressed the work on his company's website and personal social media account, without mentioning his father's new role. We are officially in market for the next director of athletics at the University of Northern Iowa, a top-tier FCS job with one of the best head coaching staffs in the country, he wrote February 15th on X, formerly Twitter. Big-time facilities projects are in the works, a die-hard fan base. There has never been more momentum on campus. Kyle Bowlesby did not respond to calls and messages seeking further comment for this story. Morris denied the university had any concern when asked during an interview focused on the Bowlesby's concurrent tenures at UNI. UNI's online statement on Internal Policy 4.03 for Conflict of Interest in Employment, or nepotism, notes in part that the university permits the employment of qualified individuals who are related to employees as long as the relationships are disclosed and either the conflict can be mitigated or such employment does not, in the opinion of the university, create a real or potential conflict of interest. There has been no past news reporting to suggest anything nefarious about Bob Bowlesby during his time at other jobs. Plus, the consulting firm is established with a few dozen clients right now. Harris, the last UNIAD, left in January for an athletic director job at Tulane University in New Orleans, exactly like his predecessor, Troy Dannon, did. The Tulane opportunity became available when Dannon left for the University of Washington. Last week, Washington announced that Dannon is now heading to the University of Nebraska after the short tenure there. Gene Berger, UNI's deputy athletic director in 2016, was the interim athletic director during that previous AD search. According to state employment records, she saw her earnings go from $91,562 to $119,672 before she took another job as the first female executive director of the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union. That IGHSAU job was previously held by Dannon, who was the executive director from 2002 until he became AD at UNI in 2008. Harris had a salary of $232,101 as UNI's AD in 2023, according to state records. He had worked as the senior associate AD at Iowa State University before taking the job at UNI in 2016. The UNI job is posted at $210,000 to commensurate. In college wrestling, North Iowa's Parker Kikkison scored quickly and first, and then he scored again and again. When 7 minutes elapsed, Kikkison's relentlessness allowed him to call himself a national champion. The UNI senior capped off the 2024 NCAA Wrestling Championships at the T-Mobile Center with a dominant 14-5 victory over Oklahoma State's Dustin Plott to win the 184-pound national title Saturday. Kikkison went 5-for-5 with bonus victories in the championships as he finished 31-0, becoming the second Panther in history to win a national championship while being unbeaten, joining Bill Dotson's 1963 victory at 137 that saw him finish 18-0. Kikkison, who beat Plott by the same score in the Big 12 finals, scored just 35 seconds in, and he kept on building his lead. He cut Plott late in the third, only to take him down late to secure the major position. He finished his historic season with 14 straight bonus wins, and he scored bonus in 28 of his 31 matches this winter for a 90% bonus rate. His finish pushed UNI into 14th place with 39.5 points, the second highest team finish for the Panthers under UNI's head coach Doug Schwab since they finished 13th in 2019. Kikkison, now a four-time All-American, third, second, and now first, has already announced that he will use his COVID year to return next season, and he plans on being better. In junior hockey, the Waterloo Blackhawks won 3 consecutive games over the weekend to clinch a spot in the USHL playoffs. Waterloo opened the weekend with a 3-1 road win over Cedar Rapids on Friday. Trailing 1-0, entering the final period, forward Griffin Erdman scored just under 6 minutes into the third to tie the game. Erdman potted the game-winning goal with 1 minute and 13 seconds remaining in regulation off an assist from Jaden Kerr. Gavin Thorson sealed the win with an empty net goal with 20 seconds to play. Goaltender Jack Spicer made 21 saves on 22 shots for Waterloo. Waterloo followed up its win over the Rough Riders with a pair of home victories over the Tri-City Storm on Saturday, 4-1, and on Sunday, 7-1. The winning streak moved Waterloo to 33-21-0-1 on the season, 67 points, and clinched the Blackhawks a spot on the U.S. Hockey League playoffs. Waterloo is currently the third-ranked team in the Western Conference. Netflix's Barbecue Showdown champ Tyrone Matthews of Olwine will join other Iowa chefs, artisans, and food producers for the second annual Iowa Eats on April 6th. The one-day celebration of all Iowa food and drink products, chefs, artisans, and agriculture-related items takes place from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Waterloo Convention Center. Proceeds from the event benefit the Silos and Smokestacks National Heritage Area. Last year's event drew about 1,200 people to downtown Waterloo from more than 40 surrounding communities. It far exceeded our expectations, said Jory Wade Booth, Communications and Marketing Director for Silos and Smokestacks. There will be guest speakers, food and drink demonstrations, and live music throughout the day. More than 50 vendors will be offering samples and selling products representing dairy farms, meat lockers, restaurants, catering businesses, specialty products, and more. New this year is the Jim Walsh Firefighter Cook-Off beginning at 11 a.m. with awards presented at 1 p.m. JSA Development is sponsoring the event in honor of its founder, who died in October of 2023. Four Waterloo firefighters have already signed up for the competition. It was Jim's idea to have a firefighter cook-off, so we wanted to do it this year in his honor, said Wade Booth. Registration is still open for Waterloo firefighters to compete. Featured main stage presenters are J.J. Goodvin, Eating Your Way Through the Heritage Area at 11:20 a.m., Tafiq Shah, Hometown Hot Spot Sauce at noon, The Bears, Craft Whiskey, Two Engineers Redefining Fields at 1 p.m., Tyrone Matthews Barbecue Showdown at 2:30 p.m., Chef Jessica Baldus Stories from a Game Show Host at 3:20 p.m., and Chef George Formaro Secrets to a Successful Restaurant at 4:30 p.m. Better known as the Iowa Gallivant, Godvin is an Iowa-based food and travel blogger. Born in Marshalltown, he grew up in Grundy Center, Marion, and Iowa City. An 11-year culinary crusade led him to Arizona, Montana, Cape Cod, the Florida Keys, the Black Hills of South Dakota, Austin, Texas, Central Illinois, and back to Iowa City. His love of traveling, food, and family drives his passion. Shah is founder and CEO of Lola's Fine Hot Sauce, now available in over 14,000 retailers and restaurants across North America, the Philippines, and the Virgin Islands. The all-natural product line also includes gourmet salsas, drink mixers, and more. Shah was recipient of the 2023 Iowa Small Business Minority Champion of the Year. Iowa natives Ryan and Amanda Bear, both mechanical engineering graduates from the Iowa State University in Ames, moved to Texas after graduation. 15 years later, they returned to Iowa. They founded Century Farms Distillery in Spencer and began making craft whiskey, usually using locally sourced corn and grains. Olwine's Matthews, founder of T&T Barbecue and a pitmaster, brought the southern flavor to northeast Iowa. He is season 2 winner of Netflix's Barbecue Showdown and specializes in the total barbecue experience. Chef Baldus is owner and operator of Taste Piggyback Smoke Shack and the Bakery in Osage. She has competed on Food Network's Guy's Grocery Games and Supermarket Steakout. Fermaro is the accomplished restaurateur behind such Des Moines eateries as Zombie Burger Plus Drink Lab, Centro, Django, Mayo, and Gateway Market and Cafe. He is also founder of the first artisan bakery in Iowa, South Union Bakery, which opened in 1996. A variety of demonstrations are planned. In the kitchen, demonstrations include 11 a.m. pasta making, pasta on the prairie from Marion at 11:40 a.m., cooking with stainless steel, the brick kitchen store from Independence at noon, fry bread, Casalasso white breast at 1 p.m., Lola's hot sauce showcase, Tafik Shah at 1:40 p.m., Renegade Kombachu, Sarah Underberg at 2:20 p.m., Baking with Lard, Donna Lana Kitchen, Podcasters at 3:40 p.m., Mix It Up Dessert Mixology and at 4:20 p.m., To Gluten or Not to Gluten, Sourdough Starter, featuring Charlene Wyatt Sauer. In the Meat Locker, demonstrations begin at 11:20 a.m. with Montage, noon, one chicken, five meals, Beth Hoffman and John Hugeland, and at 1:30 p.m., sausage making, 2:40 p.m., one pork loin, three meals, Val Poggi, and 3 p.m., Tyrone Matthews, Netflix Barbecue Showdown Winner Showcase. The bar's demonstrations begin at 11:40 a.m. with three cocktails all good hosts can make, featuring Deanna Rustad at 1 p.m., Wine 101, Sommelier Dana Swazend at 1:40 p.m., The Brown Bottle Special, Clayton Streed, 2:15 p.m., Century Farms Distillery, 3 p.m., Happy Together, Pairing Liquors and Meats, Arezzi's Martini Bar, and 3 p.m., Wind Down with Quan Podcast, DeQuan Campbell.